Psalm chapter 1. Do you have your spot? I don't. What book comes before Psalms? All right. We pronounce it with a long O, Job. Okay. And Job was an interesting character. If you ever, just to read that. I'm reading that book right now. Started it yesterday. Probably finish it tomorrow. And it's just a fantastic book as well. Psalm chapter number 1, verse number 1. Says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many would like to prosper? You would like to prosper in life. Nobody wants to prosper? Okay, you'd like to prosper. In other words, you'd like to gain. You'd like to be better off than you are right now. You'd like to go somewhere in life. And so here we find that God gives us tremendous formula on prospering. God is sharing some things here that are very, very wonderful. And the reason I like to do this and speak on it tonight is because we have a thing coming this Sunday called the New Year. And sometimes we look back at certain years and we say, boy, that was a tough year. And other years we look back and we say, man, I really gained a lot that year. And so if we're going to have 2012 be a year that gain, God gives us here in Psalm chapter 1 some tremendous pointers. He says, blessed. That's a plural word. Did you know that? It's blessednesses. Okay? God's wanting to put a lot of blessings upon us. Blessed, he says, is the man. And he is going to give us those things about the blessed man. Verse 4, 5, and 6, it's talking about the ungodly man and the wrong direction to go. But verses 1, 2, 3 is the godly man and the direction that he needs to go. And so let's look at verse number 1 tonight, and then we'll go to verse 2 and verse number 3. And just notice some truths here. As we look at verse number 1, you notice it says, blessed is the man that walketh what? What's the word? Not. Okay? Not. Oftentimes in the Word of God, you're going to find God using the negative term. The Ten Commandments, they don't say do this except for really basically one. Most of them say, thou shalt not. Why do you reckon that's so? Okay. You can, but recommended, it's more than recommended, but it's a good word. Yes?
Well, I think it's because people are naturally drawn to this. It's like hard to be good.
Okay, and so he's saying not. Okay. All right. What's interesting about this is we are more prone to get the full meaning of it. Okay? When he goes in the negative direction. For instance, if I read this verse in the positive manner, I'd say, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the godly, standeth in the way of the saints, and sitteth in the seat of the affectionate. That would have great meaning. But somehow, because we have this sinful nature, the not really strikes home. Okay? So God comes at this. So notice, first of all, blessed is the man that walketh what? Not in the what? Counsel of the ungodly. It has to do with the laws and statutes that govern a people. And so he says we don't want to go according to the laws of those who are ungodly. What if we all went by the laws of those who are now in prison? My youngest son, who's back there in the yellow and the black and white, and works at the Telegetiga Federal Prison. And those guys there are not very nice guys. And if they could, they would slit his throat. Some of them would do it on instant. They don't care. There are some of those guys there that, whatever. They have killed, they've harmed, they've maimed, they've destroyed, they've stolen. What if we all followed their example? We all come to church, we got guns, I don't like you. Bing! It'd be a bloody mess here. It would not be a very good situation. So he's saying, blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in that kind of counsel. We need to walk in the right kind of counsel. David strikes at the heart of man's pride because men believe that they can do it the right way. Men think, hey, the direction I'm going is good. And so God is saying, hey, listen, don't follow man's example. We need to follow the laws of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but really in the counsel of God is the direction that we need to go. And if we truly desire happiness, we must order our daily steps in the right direction. We've got to go in the right direction. What directs the godly man must come from God. See? And a godly man is going to be a doer of the Word of God. And so here we find, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now notice it goes on, it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Stand represents our resolve to stay the course, to be firm, to be fixed. I mean, I'm going to stand here and nothing's going to move me. That's what the idea is here with this. In Romans, it talks about, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. In other words, he is one who is in position. The Lord's people are to stand, according to Ephesians, and having done all to stand. In other words, we are to... what he's saying here, blessed is the man that standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he doesn't harden himself to the belief that they are right. And we need to stay our course. Now, there's something interesting. Find a drunkard, and he loathes somebody that's selfish. Find somebody that's covetous, and he hates somebody that's cowardice. In other words, we need to stand for not just some good things, but for all good things. Blessed, he says, is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners. The only true happy man is going to stand for what is right and what is pure. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. To sit refers to the place of a teacher. I was going to talk about that for a moment. A teacher often would sit down, the students would stand. Jesus sat in the boat, the people stood on the shore. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that sitteth not. In other words, he's not teaching, trying to get others into this position of, well, in this case, he's using the word scornful. He's not content to just live it his way. He wants others to live like him and to follow that example. And they scorn, they despise any who oppose them. What a sad scenario it is. But notice verse number 2, because here is where we begin to see some wonderful things. But his delight is what? Where is it at? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. But his delight. So here's the man. He's blessed because he doesn't do these things, but here is where he delights. Here is where he gets excited. Simply to refrain from the counsel, the way, and the seed of the sinner is not adequate. There must be the positive side. And the positive side is that we have some delight. The Pharisee of the New Testament time when Jesus was on earth, the Pharisee was the kind of person who delighted in what he stayed away from. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other thing. The old adage I used to hear is, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, and I don't go with, I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls who do. And he was away from, he stayed away from, he was separated from. But what's important is, not only are we separated from that which is evil, but we need to be separated unto something. We can stay away from all the evil and just be nothing. But there must be something to take its place. And that is to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. Delight is an act of the will. You may not be perfect, but you can want to and be willing to follow what is right. It's a rule of life. It's a desire to follow the proper direction. And the devil can rob our delight and make it into a drudgery. But all that our delight might be in the law of the Lord. We might be excited about the Bible. Sometimes we sit down and we just read it and, yeah, you know, I don't get anything from it. But we don't have the excitement going into it. My goodness, the Word of God is an exciting book. It gives us directions for life like no other book even can dare to do. And how we ought to be excited about the Bible and to pick it up and read it. I'd suggest, especially our young people here, read the book of Proverbs. When you get done reading it, read it again. When you get done reading it, read it again. Tremendous practical applications in that book. You get to chapter 9 and on, almost every verse is different than the one previous. They're not even connected together. You don't have to have a whole lot of brain thought. Just concentrate on that verse. And how tremendous the wisdom that is contained in that book. Read the books or the chapters in Psalms. They're songs. Allow God to do that. Read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As you see the life of Christ portrayed from the eyes of four different men that God wants us to understand. And allow those things to enter into our hearts and our minds. There's an exciting prospect there. You say you're nuts. Listen, I was 19 years of age when I got saved. And up to that point, I had a Bible. I'd read it once in a while. And it really didn't make a lot of sense. But when I came to know Christ as my Savior, all of a sudden this book made a whole lot more sense. And it began to become exciting to me as I learned this truth, that truth, and another truth. And learned how to believe God through things. Not knowing the future, but here's a principle God said, follow the principle and He will see you through. Do you know the Bible tells us there is a way that we can know that our needs are going to always be met? And even some of our greeds? God gives that to us. And so we ought to what? Get delighted. Really, it's a mindset. It's something we decide to do. And notice what He says, what takes place with it. In His law doth He meditate day and night. I put it like this. Read it by day and think about it at night. Meditate. In that word is discussion. Talk with people about even the word dispute. But it's speaking and meditating are very much the same. But it's observing. It's comparing Scripture with Scripture. And as you learn more Scripture, you think, man, this is related to this. And we begin to see some of the hidden things that are in the Word of God. They're not really hidden. We just got to dig them out. God has things for us. Day after day. I'm 65 years of age. I've saved at 19. For 46 years, I've known the Lord as my Savior. Read through the Word of God many times. For the last nearly 15 years, I've read through it 6 times every year. It's an exciting book. And I gained from it day after day after day. Reading Job today, there were some things that stood out to me. Book of Revelation today, it's just an exciting book. We can allow that to take place. And then we think about it just as it day goes through. Considering those passages. And notice what he says in verse number 3. And he shall be like a what? A tree. The strongest living organism on the face of our planet is a tree. There's nothing stronger than a tree. I've never seen, how many of you ever seen, I've never seen the giant redwoods in Northern California. Some of you have seen those, you've been out there, seen those. I have seen giant spruce trees, but I've never seen the redwoods. I've seen the cottonwoods that are, matter of fact, we've got a tree back over here behind us in the neighbor's yard that's probably 60, 70 feet tall. And I have been told that pound for pound, that wood is the strongest building material we have. Say, stronger than steel? I said pound by pound, pound for pound. Yes. Very, very strong. Right now you're being supported by wood. The floor underneath you is wood. The ceiling above you is being supported by wood. There's several thousand pounds of shingles up above. And what's holding them? It's wood. Very, very strong. What? We might have a problem there. Building materials that we're talking about, though. Common building materials. Okay. So we have a very strong idea here. God says we shall be like what? A tree. Here's our benefits. Trees can withstand the greatest of storms. And you and I can have that kind of assurance in our lives. How's it come about? Well, as we don't do some things, but also as we do some things. As we don't follow after the ungodly crowd, but we also then get ourselves delighted in the Word of God. I would say every person in this room, get that Bible, begin to read it, allow those things to begin to work in your heart and mind. I would love when I come back next Wednesday night and you guys are here that somebody raise their hand and they say, "Preacher, I've been reading this and I don't understand it." But now you're going to try to understand it. And it's exciting to dig those things out and to gain from it. Okay? He shall be like a tree. What? Planted. Not wild. Something, the property was chosen, it was considered. Every year, for the last many years, I've planted a garden. I don't always put it in the same place. There's a reason I do not. If I put it in the same place, I don't put the same crop in the same spot. Do you? I bet you don't. Why? Well, that is one reason. But my primary reason is, if you put tomatoes in the same place 2 years in a row, you may not get good tomatoes because they will get a disease in them. But it's the same principle. Yes. That's my main crop for tomatoes. Okay. So we find that God says it's considered, it's a place. He said planted, not just wild. Okay. It implies cultivation. It implies security. And he says, by the rivers of water. Rivers, look at it. Is it singular or plural? It's plural. Not just one. If one dries up, there's another. And when he's talking about the rivers here, I think of more than just the water that's flowing by, because this is a spiritual application here. So he's talking about other types of things. Rivers of grace. Rivers of pardon. Rivers of promise. Rivers of communion. I mean, all of the things that make us strong in Him. It's a never-failing source. So God is saying, that we will be like a tree, very strong, planted in a place that will constantly give nourishment and keep that strength there. Notice it says, his leaf shall not wither. Interesting. I better back up because I'm missing a spot. That bringeth forth his fruit in a season. As it is needed. That which is going to be there. Free to serve, whatever opportunity there is. God has His schedule, it's not ours. And then He says, His leaf shall not wither. Doesn't lose its beauty or its life because of wintry season. It is there constantly. I lived in Seattle for 3 years. And Cindy, you lived out there about 8 or 10, 12, something like that. And there's one thing in Seattle. They do have winter. They do have snow. Not too often, but they do have snow. I woke up one morning to 17 inches on the ground. Somewhat unusual. In Seattle, it just shuts down. I think they have one plow truck for the whole town of 2 or 3 million people. I mean, it's ridiculous. All the snow plows are up on the mountains. And yet it's green. Most all the trees out there are fir trees. And so it stays green year round. You go up the mountains a little bit and you find a lot of aspen trees and others, and you can find the fall colors up there. But down around Seattle, it's just almost all green year round. And that's what God's talking about here. And his leaf shall not wither. What's he saying? God will keep us in good, fresh condition. A lot of times God's people kind of dry up. What's the problem? They don't nourish upon the Word of God. They don't stay away from the wrong kind of counsel, and then they don't nourish upon the Word of God, and they're not like a tree. And notice that last phrase was what I started with a while ago. Do you want to have a prosperous year? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you know what we call that last phrase? It's a promise. It's a promise. That's something God says, this will happen. Here's the conditions. Fulfill the conditions. I promise you this will happen. That's what's exciting. I can know. If I do what God says in this, God will cause me to prosper. That doesn't mean I'm going to get rich financially, though God might do that. That's His business. But He will enrich the soul. There will be prosperity within. It's the maturing of the fruit. And bringing it to that spot where it's delicious. How many have ever eaten a green tomato? You might have had them fried. But very seldom do people slice green tomatoes and put them on the plate. We want them nice and red and ripe. If you get an apple that's supposed to be red, there are certain apples that are green by nature when they're completely ripe. But if you pick an apple early and it's green, it's going to really snap your tongue. Again, across the mountains from Seattle is a little town called Wenatchee. When you come over the top of the mountain and what's called Stevens Pass and come down that valley, you don't come down too awfully far, you begin to see apple trees. Not hundreds, thousands. Thousands and thousands of them. Literally. And you can drive for mile after mile after mile before you ever get to Wenatchee. And there's apple trees. By the way, most of them, they chop the top of them out of them. And they're not too awfully tall, but they're spread way out and they got poles holding the branches up. Especially when they get weighted down with fruit. The pastor of the church that I worked with, his name was Kenny Blue. His mother lived on, believe it or not, Easy Street. That was the name of the street. And It was kind of an outside edge of town. And she lived in a house that they rented, had for many, many years. And all around their house was an apple orchard. And so one of the last times I was out there, we stopped and we picked apples. They were the size of grapefruits. I brought some of them back here. One of our young people at that time, he saw the size of the apple and said, I'll give you $2 for it. I wished I'd have had a whole trunk load. Could have paid my gas back then. And it paid your gas? Yeah, it was 30 cents a gallon. And he offered me $2 for that thing. Big, delicious. Kind of a tart apple. That's the way I like them. And it was ripe. And very good. But we don't want them when they're not ripe. So when God's talking here about the fruit prospering, when he's talking about whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, he's talking about it being matured to the place where it's pleasant to others, enjoyable in the lives of others. In other words, God wants to make you, he wants to make me, pleasurable to those about us. He wants to change us and mature us so that we are pleasurable. Because what you said at the very beginning, we are so sinful by nature, we are so selfish by nature, that all we do is, in the beginning, just fight with everybody. Because we want our own way. Put two little kids in a nursery, give them three toys, and one of them wants all three. And if you give the other child one toy and he's got three, he wants that toy too. And pretty soon they'll be fighting over it. Why, that's our nature. What's God want to do? He wants to change that so we're pleasant and pleasurable in the lives of others. That's God's desire. How's it come about? Well, we don't follow the crowd, the ungodly. But we delight in the Word of God. My desire for you, I don't care if you're 12 or 112, is that this year you pick up that Bible and you begin to read it day after day. You read it and you think about it. Meditate upon it. I'd like to see you read the whole thing through. But if you read one verse every day and really thought about it and got something from it, my goodness, it would begin to do some things in your life. Will you take the challenge and do that? Allow God to bring prosperity into your soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God and how it can prosperous soul. Lord, I pray that you would work this in the lives of each and every person in this room. Lord, I especially get thrilled with these young people because I see the potential. And Lord,